wants to change. God wants to meet with us. He wants to change us today. Every time we come into His presence, He wants to transform us into His image. That's what the Word says. And I don't know about you, we've experienced that in the first service, but I trust that God will translate this, because I can just talk from a place where I am this morning. But if that's your desire this morning, to say, God, I want your fullness, there must be more than what I am experiencing at this moment. There must be much more. I want you to pray with me this following prayer. If that's your heart cry this morning, say, God, I know there must be more. And I'm at the limit. I'm at the brink. God, I want to see more of you. I want to experience more of you. If that's your heart desire, I'm going to pray that prayer in a minute. And then I want you to join me. Honestly, just as we dedicate the service to Him and we give ourselves unto Him and we say, God, here I am. So if you have that desire, I just want this as a congregation just to pray together. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you and I desire your fullness. And Lord, this morning, I ask you to remove every blockage, every hindrance that prohibits me from experiencing that. Amen. Amen. You can take a seat, unless you want to greet somebody quickly and then make yourself comfortable. Amen. Why don't you greet the people? Now I have to ask you to greet the people. Get up and greet the people, please. They must feel welcome. Huh? Young men, you must get up and go to the tannies. Huh? Don't let them come to you. You go and say hello to them. And not to the girls only. Huh? Yeah. I know the young men, eh? The young men, that's your opportunity. When you say go and greet, then you go. First of all, you think about that girl, you're like, hello. But that's not what I meant. But you can greet her as well in a godly way. You've got permission to do it in church, as long as it's in the light. Oh, no, I'm excited about this morning, but I feel like whenever I do the first service and then I do the second service, and the crowd changes. Okay, I have to say that. There's a different crowd. So this morning I was a bit in my kraal. This morning, when I go into the second crowd, I'm a bit out of my kraal. You know what the word kraal means? Pen in English. Okay? So I'm really relying upon the Holy Spirit to bring this message across to you. So I can only speak from where I am and the things that I am being brought up. And I'm talking on powerless Christianity this morning, but I believe God wants to set us free from certain things that prohibit us from experiencing the fullness. So I have a certain frame of reference. I don't know necessarily what your frame of reference will be this morning. And I'm really trusting, and that's the amazing thing about the Holy Spirit. I'll preach something and you hear something totally different. I said, I'll never say that. And you say, well, that's what I heard. Anyway, I'll blame it on the Holy Spirit, as long as it's biblical. Okay, if you hear something that's not biblical, that can't be the Holy Spirit. And it's probably me then. But hopefully we can meet each other, or somewhere you will find that. But there's a story, and that happened in Denver Zoo. They were donated a polar bear. Okay, I know a lot of us do not know what that is because we live in the desert, but they were donated a polar bear on condition that they built this polar bear a nice, not cage, but a nice habitat. Enclosure. Look at that. That's a beautiful word. The enclosure. So they built him, started with this process, but nevertheless, while they were building the enclosure, with the waterfall and the cave and all of that, they had to put the polar bear in a cage for the time being, till they finished that. But the cage was not that big. It was about where the polar bear could just take about three steps back, and then he could turn around, and then he can just move forward again. Unfortunately, that whole process took about the same time as the Strand Hotel. No, about 3 years. They didn't take that long. There's nobody from the Strand Hotel here, or the management, or Yuri, or anybody that was involved there. But nevertheless, as with construction, you all know when you start building, they say it's a... You will know. Anyway, we don't go there, but they will say that's a it's a new level of temptation, and you know, in any form that it comes to you. But anyway, it took them about 3 years to finish that. And when they finished the project and the enclosure, they took the polar bear, they placed him in front in his new enclosure. The people were there. They do the final opening and grand opening, and everybody's there. And now they look at the polar bear, and the polar bear stepped forward, 1, 2, 3, and he stopped. And then he turned around, and then 1, 2, 3. That was all he was used to. Although he had the cave, he had waterfall, grass. They don't grow. There's not supposed to be grass in there. Okay. All the beautiful things which they were putting so much time and effort into that, and yet he was just in that little small space. Made me think about us as Christians so often. How small our world can become. That we limit God so often. But nevertheless, I'll get to that in a moment. When Martin Luther, you heard about the Martin Luther, it's not a train out there, okay? Who knows who's Martin Luther? Okay, some of you know. Martin Luther, some of you, I don't know if they tell you that in church, not church history. It's supposed to be in church history, but in history in school. When he nailed the 95 theses against the wall there, many, many, many years ago, that caused an upset in the church business, the church culture, business, call it what you, that changed it forever, about grace. You see, Martin didn't try to change or just upset church for the sake of upsetting it. He saw and realized there's something more on the other side. And I'm going to challenge them just to go to that side. So often we have to almost want to say, push you to that place and say, you can do it, just jump, man. And I compare that to a race that we run. In my head, I see that often as we run this 400-meter hurdles. And our journey starts with God, and then we're off, and we're out of the blocks, and we hear God's voice, and then we go, we're excited. But then we get to the first hurdle. And we have to get over the hurdle, and I call that hurdles of obedience. In order to get to the other side, you have to jump over this first one. I just refer to that as the baptism. That's the very first one. That's where a lot of us struggle. And then some of us, we're over that, and we fall over that, but we're there, and we're on the way, and then we're going on baptism, and then and you realize that God is just so much more than what we can, I would say, comprehend. And I'm just amazed. And I tell you, till the day we die, there's just going to be so much more. And think about it in eternity. You know, in Isaiah 6, I just think about this now. When the angels were flying around God's throne, that they said, holy, holy. Now you think for a moment, how boring it seems to us when all you hear is holy, holy, holy. We just listen to the words and we think that must be boring in heaven to hear that. But I think that the angels, when they looked at God and they saw God and they said, wow, I never saw that. Wow. Or holy. Wow. Wow, I never saw that. Wow. There's just so much more of God. And I tell you, there's so much that God wants to give us that we block. We are the blockage. We prohibit Him from taking us to that place. If we can compare to the sea this morning, many of us, we're not even in the shallow waters. Some of us on the beach and we talk about swimming. But we're standing on the beach on the side with our wings and whatever. And we have a nice time, but we're not even in the water. And God said, just, man, there's so much more there and deeper that I want to take you. But let's lay a foundation here before I carry on too far. Mark 7, if you've got your Bibles, Mark 7. And we're going to read from verse 5 this morning. Because I see this problem occur still to this day. I don't know about yours, but I'm talking on the powerless Christianity, but I don't know about what is stopping you this morning, but there's something most probably that will stop us from experiencing that. And hopefully by the end of today, we will see what that might be. So verse 5 says, and the Pharisees and the scribes ask him, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands? And he said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it's written. Look at Jesus, man, he doesn't hold back. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. you leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men. And he said to them, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is Corban, that is given to God, then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. In many such things you do. Many such things you do. Okay, let me lay a foundation. But before I do that, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 2, I'll just quickly read that for you. I'll read it. Verse 4, he says, And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I love actually the New King James translation that says, my speech and preaching were not in persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. Amen. Don't you desire to move to that place where when you commune with people, when you engage with people, there's such a power, there's such a presence of God just in that conversation that you just have a normal conversation and boom, things happen and you just stand here, what happened now? It's not me, because I know I'm not special in that sense. It's just I've just been normal. I've just been there and then God suddenly did something. Why is it that we experience less power sometimes in Christianity? We call ourselves Christians, yet we do not walk in the power. Okay, I'm not talking just about miracles here. A lot of people straight away think about the miracles. So I want to put it out there from the start. Let's go back quite to the beginning. What happens when we come to Christ? Somebody said something. We come to Him empty. Okay, there's a lot of things that happen. One of that is we're supposed to come to Him empty. To empty ourselves at least at His feet. With our baggage, with our problems, with our burdens, with all of that, with everything that we thought we could bear, we reach a place where we realize, man, I cannot make this on my own anymore. I've reached the end of my rope. And hopefully you come to that place where you come to God hungry. Hungry, desperate, hoping for an answer. Maybe it's the circumstances in your life. Maybe it's something there that caused you to get to your knees eventually, because that's just a way of getting us onto our knees so that we can meet with our Savior. And when we meet with Him, eventually He changes our heart, and we are going to talk about that quite often, or for the next year at the beginning, quite a lot about coming back to the basics. What are the things that are important when we come to Christ? Because I spoke about that 2 weeks ago, about the Christianity without the cross, that we don't see that anymore in our lives. The evidence of coming to Christ with a remorseful brokenness, where being sorry about sin, realizing you're a sinner, and then you find hope in Christ. But when we come to Christ, we're full of the world, we're programmed by the world, and now God says you're a new person. But who knows, it's not that easy. Suddenly you still have this battle you've got this battle, you know, I don't want to be there anymore, but there's this part of this flesh and I've got this battle going on. But then it's our job or responsibility to program or reprogram ourselves with this. Okay? They don't just tell you when you come to church, read your Bible, because there's nothing better to do. A lot of us think, oh, this is what we've been, the pastor or the dumni or the, that's what they expect you to do, or just read the Bible. It's for a reason that we have to plant the word inside of us, because we have to be reprogrammed. The world has programmed you and me to think a certain way, to act a certain way, to react a certain way. Now we have to establish a discipline of meditation and reading the word, not meditation. No, that's what others, something. You wish you could have an app that you can download. Now I have the word of God in me. There's effort, there's endurance, there is perseverance needed to establish that habit. Who knows, when you've got, I spoke about that, when you've got bad habits, it takes perseverance to break the bad habit. And I find in my own life how easily a habit can form. Just a habit of not doing something. Now to break that, sometimes it takes a lot of energy just to turn it around. Now, I never read my Bible, or maybe I read the Bible just way before I was religious and I grew up with that, and now I just read the Bible when I was going to sleep, you know, with that way. And you wake up like, oh. Anyway, Now you have to establish a meaningful and purposeful prayer or meditation and all of that, studying the Word, not just reading the Word, studying, I'm going to say that again, not just devotion, studying the Word, so that it's in my spirit. So I reprogram myself. I make a deposit. I put it in there. But I also found in my own life that it doesn't just take a lot of energy and perseverance and endurance and all of that that comes with that to establish it, but it also takes energy, endurance, perseverance to maintain that. Because life demands a lot of our time, and it's busy, and it's family, and it's children, and it's work, and it's all of that. And if I do not maintain that, bad habits are starting to form. So it's a continuous process of reprogramming. There's so much more. This Word is just so much, so deep. And then I thought I understood that, and then I realized, well, there's no more. I never saw that scripture before. God, now my theology is rocked. So now, God, I have to go back to that. But it's like a garden this morning. When we come to God, we have an empty garden, almost like the desert. Woosh, man. We need Him. We need His Word. We need the Word that He spoke already in the past. This. So we have to purposefully plant that Word in our garden. Now, I know some of us, we don't like every kind of tree and plant out there. We've got our preferences. The same in the Word. Some of us, we only read stuff that we like. And we only study the stuff we like. And sometimes you have to plant the trees and the plants there that you don't necessarily like, but you need it. If we talk about theology this morning. Because you see, when we plant those things, there's a time and season. Maybe I'm running ahead with it. Let me not share that yet. But we're going to plant that for a specific season and time when we're going to need that shade of the tree, that specific tree. But bear with me, it's not just the communicated knowledge. We hear a lot about that, and maybe you hear that this morning, but somewhere between here and there, or between you and a friend and that conversation you have and the word that you listen to, it's communicated knowledge. But somewhere along the line, there's something that needs to take place so that it becomes revealed knowledge. You see, I can talk to you about the baptism. You can sit and listen. Yeah, yes, well, I don't believe in that stuff. Oh, yeah. Oh, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. No, that's not for me. Oh, tongues, that's just for some. And it hasn't become revealed knowledge to you. So all it is just communicated knowledge. And our willingness to say, God, whatever. In actual fact, my willingness to obey must have priority above my willingness to understand. And I'm not saying you shouldn't understand. I'm going to get to that in a moment. Sometimes we want to figure out, we turn it around. I want to figure it out when it makes sense. Then I will obey, Lord. God never called us or to please us first. Well, if you do that, that is the benefit. And if you do that, that will happen and that will happen. Okay, yes, Lord, I can see I'll do. God wants to move us to that place of instantaneous obedience. The Bible actually talks about trembling at His Word. Wow, God, I hear that. Or, God, I don't see that in my life. I hear you saying that's wrong, but God, help me. I'm sorry, I'm not going to do that again, but God, help me in this process just so that I will understand that along the way. See, you don't need to understand to obey. I'm going to say that again. You don't need to understand to obey. Sometimes we got to do it blindly. I'm not saying don't use your brain. Hear me this morning. But if we walk by this, we're going to get to this in a moment. See, we understand His past word. That's our responsibility. That's why we do Bible school, to help you to get the past word in you, to reprogram you. That's why we have cell groups. That's why we're breaking down that word to establish it in our lives. But then we also got to understand His present word. Thank God He didn't leave us in the past there. His word is still, His Spirit is still alive this morning. He's still speaking to us as to this day through His word. So you got to understand the scripture, but you got to understand as well, or you got to figure out the voice of God. You got to understand, what does His voice sound like? You got to recognize His voice. Now I'm thinking on the intercession. Now I'm thinking about prayer. See, when we get to those environments where we sit in the environment of God and the presence of God and with other believers, corporate prayer as well, not just individual prayer, we test the words we hear. We say, I sense this. I hear this. See, now it's a reprogramming that's busy taking place. But it doesn't stop there. Let's move on. Okay? So God is moving us or encouraging us or getting us to practice the discipline of the word, past, present, from communicated to revealed knowledge, and now we're starting to saturate us with the word. But then it's not enough. It's not enough. When Jesus left earth, he gave them a commandment. Jesus didn't get on the clouds. Cloud number 9. Huh? I know some of you don't know the song. You see, in a different era. Okay, that's Brian Adams for them. Okay, it's just a joke, all right? We don't sing cloud number 9 in church, but anyway. When he was in the cloud and he went up there, he didn't send them WhatsApp. Yeah, there's the Google address there. WhatsApp. Yeah, guys, you can go and have a look on that website down there. It will help you to become a Christian. Or go on that internet site there and it will help you. I know, I love technology. But he said, what did he say? Teach them. Teach them. In order to teach, there must be two people present. Not a computer and a person. Now, I think God knew well in advance. I love technology, man. We're going to do that. And that's part of my vision where we want to take that out there with the DVD and the video and all of that. But that is not superior to relationship. You can't sit at home this morning in a town where there are churches and there's not a perfect church for you. Guess what? You'll never find a perfect church for you. Amen. You got to be somewhere in some kind of fellowship where somebody's going to rub you up the wrong way and help you to get something out of you at least. Because a good church, somebody will rub you up the wrong way. Hey, amen. I can get more amens on that. Seriously. You need relationship around you, because God knew exactly. In the last days, people were sitting at their home, so comfortable, watch the TV. I've been to church. I watched whoever. Don't call names. That's not, I mean, I love it. We're going to do that as well. But it can't be superior to actual relationship, because God knew sometimes we got to help one another. I got to look you into the eye and say, listen, that scripture that you studied and that new doctrine, that new theology, when you sit here in the front, brother, I'm going to use you. Okay? Give me proof, Kunain. We need people around us to look us into the eyes and say, listen, that stuff you're talking, it can't be the truth. Or maybe have you thought about it this way? Because the computer doesn't talk back to you. Although nowadays it can, but it's programmed to do certain things. Hey? You don't know the spirit behind that man that wrote the article on the computer. And if you don't believe in baptism, if you don't believe in whatsoever, go and Google that. You'll find something that will support your strategy or your specific theology or your doctrine, whatever you think. That's why people come to me and they say, well, this man on the internet that I don't know, but they say this and it makes sense to me. Well, I said, do you know this man? Have you got a relationship with this man? No, but it talks sense to me. Yeah, to you. But that doesn't mean that's the truth. See, relationship is superior. God knew we got to be in each other's presence, in each other's faces. That's where we come together, Sundays and Wednesdays, to look each other in the face and say, listen, how was your week? How's things? How's things in your life? See, the computer can't ask you, brother, how's things at home? How's things in your marriage? How are you doing spiritually? No, but I'm okay, man. Don't ask those questions for me. Anyway, let's carry on. I've got the word of God in me. See, Proverbs 11:14 says, but in the multitude of counselors, there are wisdom. We need people around us to help us with that journey. So we need the word, and we need community. Because community, friends, protect us from deception. Community protects us from deception. Because God's got more eyes around us now suddenly. When we are as brothers and sisters and we truly love one another, we can help one another and say, well, I'm there for you. I cover your back. And I know sometimes we say those things and we don't do that. So hopefully God help us that we don't just talk cheap, okay? But as far as we can and as far in our best ability, we must get to that place. You see, it doesn't just apply to our spiritual family or our natural family. The same applies to us. You can't choose your natural family. Who chose the natural family? You chose your mother or your father. Any person, nobody chose your mother and your father. God determined that. You didn't have any control. Exactly the same in the spirit. Supposed to be. Only difference is when it gets to the things of God, he gives us a choice. That's why it's love. That's why it's called love. He says, well, if you really want to walk in the Spirit, I'll choose for you. But if you don't want to walk in the Spirit, you can choose for yourself. Then you can choose your family. Then you'll have a selective community, the ones you like. But God, in His wisdom, has placed us amongst family, leadership, and people around us that will bring out the worst in you. Not the best. I know that's the worst in you. So that you and me are surprised about what's coming out of my heart. God, I didn't know that I've got this anger or this, I'm so short-tempered. God, I didn't know that that person's just got the way to, huh? Come on, you're all so holy. Come on. That's true. That's beautiful how God uses our flaws and our weaknesses and all of that, bringing that together in a community. And then He called it love, after all. Or we're supposed to love one another. And it's a hard work, man. It's a hard work to love my brother and sister when I just feel love, the way I see love, is a different way. I mean, I want to fight. I want to sort him out. But God said, love. Calm down. Control yourself. Huh? God loves us so much, you know. He puts such great people around us. And I tell you, I thank God for the people in your life, even if you don't agree with Him sometimes. Somewhere along the line, hopefully, God can do a beautiful work with us if we continue to work with Him, like the clay on the wheel. We don't become hard. But you see, as long as we're not in isolation, that's fine. As long as you're in the group, I want to say you're safe. As long as your ears are open, you're in the group. There's somebody that'll watch out for you. And it'll ask you, why didn't you come to church? Oh, He didn't ask that just to spoil your fun. He asked that hopefully with sincerity in his heart. But in the group, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So with the word, with community, with fellowship, establish us. But it doesn't stop there. There's so much more. You see, I shared with the guys the other night at the Bible school, end of the Bible school. I said, when we go out there and we build, let's say we want to build two houses, exactly the same plan, we use exactly the same material, we painted the same color, so they look exactly the same. The only difference is, the one we give them a proper foundation, the other one we just build on top of the ground. Now, if I would ask you, are they the same? We all would say, yes, they're the same. If you don't know that the one hasn't got a foundation, when will we know the difference between the two? When there's an earthquake, when there's wind, when the seasons change. People, the time me and you spend in the Word is only tested when the seasons change. You can sit here this morning and say, well, he's just trying to get me busy, and that's what they are supposed to do, the pastor, just to tell you to read your Bible and to study your Bible. But I see how people fall off the bus, I can always say, when seasons change, when the winds blow. Suddenly you realize what's in the heart. We're going through a tough time, and then we realize, what's the theology that's coming out of this person? I thought he's with us all the time. Then you realize, but there's another theology there, or there's a lack of that, there's a shallowness there. See, our theology is tested in those times. So when we plant in our gardens, like I said in the beginning, those trees and stuff that we don't necessarily like, if we had to go through that, all of that, we're actually making investment in our future. Because the Bible says many in the last days will fall away. Many will fall away. I mean, have you ever thought about that? That we just pray, God, help us, preserve us. Help us just to stay humble. Help us just to be there with you, God. And let us not miss out on what you want to do. Because many will fall away. When the Bible says many fall away, it's not just a suggestion. That's what will happen. That's why you see people, they jump on whenever a prophet comes by. Thus says the Lord. Oh, that one, he's prophesying. I see all the prophets, all the posters up in town. I don't know why the prophet needs a poster to put it up in town anyway. Not saying that we don't do that as well. I'm just saying so often we've got the posters all over, and this prophet's going to give you a miracle oil. I saw that in the other day in our main newspaper. Come on, people. Maybe I'm talking into your kraal this morning with the prophets. I had a different crowd at first. We run after this prophet. Then we run after this prophet. And we have all the promises. The other one was in the newspaper. They've got this, you come to this meeting, then you get a free bottle of miracle holy oil. We do all kinds of things just to draw the people. And then we believe what this prophet said, because he just, as long as he can just give me something, I just want a word from God. But God wants to say that to you first. He's just supposed to confirm that. And I'm not breaking down any minister out there or any son of God that is, I want to say, linked to a body somewhere. But in the last days, I know I sound repetitive this morning, we will have many such things that will happen around us. And if your theology is not stable, you'll run after this one. And next time this one is in town, I'll run after this one. We do the prophet running, like they do the pub crawling or the whatever they call it, huh? You've got a family that must have priority. See, family is different. You can check, you can, hopefully you study me. Hopefully you study your brother and see, listen, we're supposed to live in the light. So what I say, I need to live the same thing out there as well. I'm not saying we are perfect this morning. But how can you follow somebody that you do not even know out there? You follow a doctrine, a thing of somebody. They don't know even with what intention that person wrote that stuff. Many times I've seen it, hear my heart this morning. I've seen it sounds correct to the ear, but somewhere in the spirit there's a check that's saying a red light is going on, but you can't put your hands around it. I've heard it so many times, but people will sit in front of me and say, Pastor, we love you, we're with you, and we're gray. And I'm like, God, there's something wrong here. But what the person is saying is right, but something. And then I realized when Jesus said the first time when I saw that in Scripture, when he came to his, disciples came to him and said, these boys that are troubling us, shouldn't we do like Elijah, call fire out of heaven, let them fire devour them. I mean, that's what Elijah the prophet did. Wasn't it right at that time? And now they want to do the same thing. And Jesus said, listen, relax, you don't know the spirit behind you. You don't know the spirit that's operating behind you. Many times it seemed like the right thing to do, but the spirit behind it was the wrong spirit. So we got to have communion with people around us where we can study. We get to know each other. We get to get in each other's presence, not just on Sundays. Not just on Sundays. More than that. I'm going to say that again. And now I'm talking to our Yemi. I had to be very specific in my first service with the Afrikaner crowd, okay? And I could speak from where I am in our tradition and what is holding us back. And now hopefully God can help me to meet that with some of us are sitting here that's still Afrikaners, and some of us, we don't have that frame of reference that's blocking us. Some of us, we only come to church on a Sunday. We don't see you again. Because it's not in our culture to come back during the week. Because we've been brought up only Sundays, as long as you go to church on Sundays. But there might be something this morning that stops you from the fullness of God. And I'm going to get to that in a minute. I'm not going to run ahead. Hebrews 4 verse 2 says, but the word was preached to them as well as to us. Is it up there? The word which was preached to us as well as to them did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. In other words, he says there's two audiences. Let's say, in other words, this morning, we've got two audiences here, this side, left and right. The same word goes out here this morning. Let's say you're the bad guys. This side, they hear the word, but it doesn't profit you. This side, this crowd grabs the word, runs with it, and moves in the power of the word. See, in order to understand this maybe better, I got to put it against the opposite. You see, he's talking about faith here. Now, in order to understand faith in the context of faith, or in the context of what Paul is writing here, he says, some grabbed, held onto that, they profited from that, some others not. So we got to put this word faith in the opposite, against his opposite, to compare that so that we can understand what I'm trying to say here. See, the Spirit of the Lord, 2 Corinthians 3, let me just read that maybe. And then I'll explain to you. So when you, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Faith, do you believe that God wants to move us into freedom? Out of the law, out of all those kings that die to hold us back to a place of freedom. To put it again, opposite that, You got to think about it this way. Faith versus human reasoning. See, faith says to me, it's possible. Faith says to me, you need to be baptized. No, God, that doesn't make sense. Faith says to me, baptism, the Holy Spirit, there's more. Faith says to me, tongues, it's not just for some, it's for everyone. Because you are some are special, everybody is special to me. I want to give that to everybody. No, God, that can't be, because it doesn't make sense. All these funny noises that people make, it can't be God, because it doesn't make sense to me. Can you see that's becoming superior to our obedience? So it's starting to form a blockage, whatever it might be, that might be strange to us. And I tell you what, there are so many things around us often that's going to be strange to us. But as long as our spirit are open to say, God, just maybe I have not seen this one before, because I come out of a background that's different. I've got a baggage. I've got something around me that prohibits me from experiencing that. I've not seen this. The way they do church, Lord, it's a bit different to me. I grew up with just going to church on a Sunday. But God, now they're doing this, and this can't be you. See, God wants to move us where we deposit the word plus community plus faith so we can get to that place of moving in the power. It doesn't help. We all know these things. We have community around us to protect us. But we never operate in faith. We never apply. We never reach that place and say, well, that can be for me as well. There comes a place where you got to step out and say, well, that doesn't make sense, but my heart says, I'm yearning for this God. And I'll wrestle with you, God, till I get to that place. But God, in the meanwhile, I want that as well, Lord. Give that to me, Lord. Even though I do not understand that fully. If you honestly have a heart and say, God, I want to. Because I tell you what, sometimes God is taking you at scary places when it's dark there. And you've got to move in faith, because that's what the Bible says. Those that move in faith pleases God. Not those that reason with their minds and figure it out. And when you think you figured out God, I always joke about that we become so arrogant that we can figure out God anyway. But when we understand all this foreign sounds and machine gun noises that the people make, and now when I understand that, in actual fact, the Bible says you wouldn't understand that. I'll get to that in a moment. He says, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. The natural man, read that. Can we have that scripture up there maybe? Is it possible? Anthony, am I deepening you there? Or shall I just read it? 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. I just want you, or if you've got your Bible, just page, turn there. There you see. But the natural man, now, King James, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That's why I always have to take people back to that place when we baptize people with the Holy Spirit. The first obstacle is the mind. Oh no, it can't be. These noises that's coming out of me. Some voice is just telling me, you made that up. Word that before when you were baptized with the Holy Spirit. I'm raising my hand this morning. Because that's the first thing I heard. You're making it up. This can't be true. You fake. You fake, man. Huh? You all sit and stare like me. Have you experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit this morning? Because you are. In a moment, I'm going to pray for people for that. If you are hungry, if you truly desire to be at that place and say, God, I want more. I want the fullness of your Spirit. But my mind blocks you. And there's something more this morning. I want to answer that, hopefully, out of the scripture. And this is, I'm only getting to my message now and we're at the end. So the message actually was just 5 minutes. The rest was just preparation for this moment. Let's go back to the scripture. One more scripture. Why, have you ever asked that question? Why do some experience more than others? Why do they move in that gifting? Why do they experience that? Whilst I cannot, I'm struggling to move in that area. Look at what Jesus says to the disciples, or to the Pharisees. He says, verse 13, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and many such things you do. What is he saying here? He says, you can have it all. You can have the word, you can have community, then you can have faith. But if you nullify the power of the word through your tradition, you wouldn't receive anything. You see, first of all, he talks about your tradition. Can I just make a statement and put it out there? Every one of us in this room this morning has got tradition. Yours might be a bit different than mine. The way you grew up is different than mine. But somewhere along the line, there's certain ways how we act, how we react, how we commune with God, how we worship God. And it's obviously different in the two services. It's beautiful to me. I love the freedom that sometimes here as well. But still, if we think we've arrived and we think, well, I haven't got something that's limiting me, there might be something this morning. A tradition that was handed down, the Bible says, handed down. Your parents, maybe your dumni, maybe your whoever, rabbi, they handed down something to you. And maybe they didn't mean bad, and I'm handing down something here this morning that might have to be changed afterwards as well, as God renews us, as God is just taking us to a next level. But you've been handed down something, and you are handing down something to somebody. You are handing down something to your children, and you sit here this morning, you think that's not the truth, but you just doing nothing, you are handing down something. But you're just doing nothing in church, just coming to church. What are you handing down? You're handing down a culture of, it's okay just to come to church. But you're not worshiping in freedom and spirit and in truth, and just being reserved, and that was more for the Afrikaans crowd, okay? That's why I had to passionately just get to that place where we have to look at this ourselves and be honest with ourselves. But us not working and moving with the Spirit in obedience to the Spirit by just being reserved and, oh man, I'm just, don't go there, man. I haven't seen that when I was, and this is now I'm talking about our Afrikaans people. We struggle to do this, amen. We struggle when we first come into the presence of God. That is a difficult thing. I know you don't think that's difficult. Maybe you come out of another background, but we struggle with that, to get our hands up there. Because what is the man behind me going to think about me? He's going to think I'm mad. And then I have to clap my hands, and now he's going to think I'm even worse. He lost his mind. And now if God wants to take us a little bit further, he's taking us now to baptism in the Holy Spirit. Let's leave baptism. Baptism is another thing. But now we're going to baptism in the Holy Spirit. And they start talking, Shandarababa Shikit. What's happening to this man? I don't go to that church again. It's emotional, traumatic experience. Don't go there again. The holy rollers and the mad people and all of that. And we call them names. But it's just because you and me, we operate from a place of tradition. We've not been exposed to that. So we have this barrier, and Jesus says, you nullify the power of the Word of God through your traditions that you handed down. Can you see this morning that we sit with stuff sometimes, unknowingly, underneath the surface, and we just can't get ourselves to that place of just being obedient to the Holy Spirit? I'm not just saying here this morning, become funny in church and just do funny things and whatever. I'm trying to get to that place where we move with the Holy Spirit. You see, this is what I see, and this is what's breaking my heart. Can I have the music team here? We work towards a certain place in our services. Hopefully when God just puts the word and he's just sowing that word and the Holy Spirit speaks to you, and then somewhere along the line you feel, that's me. Oh, God, ouch. God, I have to correct it. And then we get to that, and specifically in our Afrikaans crowd, and I don't know where we are here this morning in this crowd, but we move to that place. And then he goes to that place where you know the pastor's probably going to ask, is anybody got a problem in that area? Or anybody's got a need prayer in that area? And so we can get that one. We have got that place or reach. That's where we get up to that place. So we have, and we try people and help people and say, well, just close all of you, close your eyes. Okay, so at least nobody looks around. If there's somebody, okay, right. So we get, okay, we at the altar call and we say, guys, I feel the Spirit of God is saying to me, there's somebody sitting here with this and this and this. Don't you need prayer? And the person goes, then we go the next step. This is where we fall off the bus. I say, well, that person that raised your hand, don't you want to get here to the front and we'll pray with you? No, God, I can't do that one. That one we'll do at home. We'll do business at home because, God, I'm just too shy. I'm not used to this, going to the front, all of that. And that's just an example this morning. I know there's some things, other things that maybe hold you back this morning. You see, I just don't get this. I don't get this. I was preaching on the cross the other day about Christianity without the cross. Now, we all know it is no secret that Jesus died nakedly on the cross. Nakedly, my friend. I want you to imagine that this morning. If I ask you to come to the front, I know it sounds unholy, undress yourself and stand here naked before this crowd. You will be so humiliated. You will be so in shame. He was hanging there, nakedly, stripped of everything. Nothing was standing there. No reputation anymore. Naked for you and me. And I'm wrestling with God. I'm saying, God, and we cannot get ourselves just out of our seats, out of breaking past that tradition that's so keeping us in our safe spaces like that polar bear and say, well, this is my safe space. As long as I can operate in the 3 meters here, I'm happy. I can do church in this. God says, man, jump out of that. There's so much more. Walk through that tradition. Break that down. That fullness that's waiting on the other side. And God wants us to get through that. It might be different. I'm not sharing about the other service this morning. But it's maybe different this morning. You've got tradition. There's something, some barrier around that sometimes that prohibits us and say, God, there's more. But just because I've not seen that before, just because it's not known to me, doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And we rather break that down. We rather say, well, that can't be the truth, and that can't be, and that's not for me. And then I feel good, at least it's for some. And God says it's for everyone. Let's close our eyes. Maybe you're here this morning. I know some of you here this morning, you want to break through that place. Say, God, I want to break through whatever prohibits me from experiencing the fullness. And God, I want to break that tradition, Lord, that was handed down to me, that was not from you, Lord. And I'm not breaking any person down. I'm saying it in all honesty. I'm making mistakes, but God is busy renewing us. God is leading us to that place. Maybe you sit here this morning. You know that you want to experience more, but there's something that's holding you back. And I tell you what, it's our willingness to obey the Holy Spirit and to move with Him. Not to reason, but to move in obedience first to Him. And while nobody's looking around, I'm going to count to three. If that's you this morning, I want you to get up and get to the front. It's just that breaking that prophetic thing of saying, God, I'm that person that says, God, there must be more. I need your Holy Spirit. I want to be baptized with your Holy Spirit. God, there must be more. It's not just for some. It's for me as well. You died not just for some, God. You died nakedly, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, we bless you. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for everyone willing this morning. Lord, everyone saying, God, I see that. I see that barrier in my life, Lord. I see, Lord, whatever is holding me back. Lord, we thank you in the Spirit. We break that down. Father, we thank you that we receive freedom in your Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Father, we thank you. We will not run back to our past. Lord, we will not be confined to what's been handed down to us. But, Lord, we want to live according to what you've handed us, Lord. And Father, we thank you at this moment, Lord, that you purify us, that you strip us, Lord, of everything that prohibits us from the fullness in you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, this morning, that those who truly desire, those who truly are hungry, Lord, that will you say that you will, we will find you, Lord. And I pray for everyone here this morning that says, Lord, I'm hungry, I'm desperate. God, I want more. There must be more, Lord. And whatever is in my life that's holding me back, God, I just want to lay that down, Lord. I want to break it down and say, Jesus, I want to become a fool like Christ, a fool for you, like Paul said. Whatever it takes. Okay, Jesus. I'm going to ask some of the leaders to pray with me. Anybody here this morning that wants to be baptized with the Holy Spirit specifically, I want you to maybe just move to my left. If you're here this morning, if the rest of you, you're just here to just to react to the voice of God, that's fine. You may take your seats, or you want somebody to pray with you, you're welcome just to remain standing. But the rest of us, so that I can know who I need prayer for, okay? Or who needs prayer, okay? There's some of the leaders still, you guys. You guys can help me here. There's more. Thank you, Jesus. There's more.